Hey, good morning. Still morning, still morning. And I forgot this in the first service. We have a special greeting from somebody who couldn't be with us. And I would just say we wouldn't be where we are, literally, geographically, I think, where we are without this person and his bride. And they have sent us a greeting. So we're going to roll that greeting for you right now. You just watch. It's going to roll. Right there.
Billy wishes she could be part of this. She is. The sentiment certainly is from her as well, but not able to join us. For this quick little congratulations, 20 years, well done. And truly by the grace of God, you have lived up to that name, Refuge, being a people of refuge, pointing to the ultimate refuge, which is Jesus. And we pray by the grace of God that you will continue to be that which you are, those people of refuge pointing to Jesus. So we love you guys, and happy 20th anniversary. So cool to know that happens, and so fun to remember back in the months of the crossing there at Central Park before that first Sunday 20 years ago. There at 7800 Edinger. So God bless you guys. Bye.
Did you see all that lawn behind him?
Yes.
You know why Billy wasn't able to be on the video? She was mowing the lawn. Did you hear that lawnmower in the background? That's what she was doing. And I hope he's not watching right now. I said that. We would certainly not be. Literally, I think, where we are without them. I miss that brother so much. And it's good to see you this morning. And I was asked by Pastor Jeff to greet y'all. And so y'all are welcome. And somebody just showed me there is a y'all version of the Bible, where Jesus says, bless y'all, and all that. I guess, and if that's real, I'm going to get one for Jeff, for sure. But anyway, y'all are the church. You are the church. Turn to somebody and tell them, you are the church. Church is not the building. The church is the people. I had to pull out this old pulpit from, I think it was from the other building, but I noticed when I was sitting there with Mary that it was full of dust, and I'm the one that pulled it out, and it was bugging me so much, I had to go get something to clean it up. I could see, especially on the front. Hey, what did you say? She has been nothing but trouble to the devil since the day she got born again. Yeah. So, hey, I want to start with two passages that are going to be up here on the screen. I'd love it if you'd stand with me and we'll read these together from Psalm 9 and Matthew chapter 11. This is 20 years of refuge we're talking about today. So follow along with me. I think it's going to, there it is. Here it comes. Psalm 9, verses 9 through 11. Let's read together. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing the praises of the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he is done. That's our mission, isn't it? To tell the world. Keep reading. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, here's what Jesus said. Come to me, y'all. Come on, say it with me. Come to me, y'all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, we're so thankful that Jesus said that, and Jesus proved that, and Jesus did that. He welcomed every soul that would come to him, that would simply come to him for that rest and for that hope and for that healing and for forgiveness. And Father, I thank you for what you have done in us together as a family through the years. And we're just saying this morning, Lord, we're ready for more. Please continue to use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. For those of you who are new to Refuge, my name is Bill. I'm Jeff's little brother. And by our sanctuary clock here, I have about 30 minutes, but by my official preacher clock, I have about 75 minutes. So hope you brought a bottle of water. But I'm very thankful that I get to share with you this weekend as we celebrate this milestone as a church family of being in this particular facility now for these 20 years. Celebrating 20 years of this place called Refuge. Some of you, did I say refuse? Refuge. And some of you have taken the class, haven't you? How many, let me see the hands of you that have taken that class, this place called Refuge. And if you want to be involved here, we would love for you to be involved here, but it's really essential to us that you kind of catch the vision. And we could almost look at this as that class this morning, because a lot of what I'm going to share, those of you who have been through the class, you've already heard. So celebrating 20 years in this place. I just can't believe that went by so fast. Tell somebody beside you how old you were 20 years ago. They won't do the math. They won't figure it out how old you are now. Yeah, I'm 20 years ago, I was 22. In my mind. But it was only God's hand that put us here in this spot. I want to tell you the story about how we landed here. And it's not just about buying a cool piece of real estate. It's the hand of God. It was nothing but God's hand that put us here. And God did this. Yeah, that was one of the board members' voice I heard over there when we bought this building. And thank you, Brad. but God did this. And about 4 years ago, he paid it off. We don't owe anything on the building. Yeah, and we look back, and the guy that you saw on that last little video, Alan, had a whole lot to do with just driving the bus forward through that, and he didn't leave here until it was paid off, and so he and Billy had been with us for 25 years by that time. So we look back at how God placed us in the middle of the marketplace against all odds. Three years before, when we went to the bank to see if we could qualify for a loan for this building, they didn't laugh at us, but they turned us down. They say, the numbers don't add up. It doesn't look like you can service that bill. So they told us we weren't ready. And then in 2002, we met with a round table of Huntington Beach department heads. There was someone there from the fire department, someone there from the police department, the building department, the parking department, and a couple of others around this big, long table, and lots of negative feedback. So, we don't really know. That's not zoned for churches. We don't think we want a church in that area. And look, the parking, you don't have enough parking to really build a congregation in there that would be, you know, what you want. And so one after another just said, no, we don't think it's going to work. We just don't think that's going to work. And then a woman spoke up. What happens when a woman speaks? And this woman, who was, I can't remember what department she was in, but she said, hey, guys, come on. Just about like that. Guys, come on. We have to start filling up some of the empties up there on Edinger Avenue. How many of you remember what Edinger Avenue looked like for a long time? It really was like a ghost town there. And at that point, when that sister, whatever her name was, I want to thank God for her. It just turned the tide, and the rest is the history that we've been living. So we look back with great gratitude, and we look forward with faith and passion to continue to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit in what he's called us to do. Because can I just tell you, we are not done. There's still broken people all around us who need Jesus, and we get to be one of those contingents of God's people bringing that hope to those people. So God has been faithful, and so have you. Thank you for your faithfulness in participating in what we're doing, your faithfulness in your giving. We make almost no deal. We don't make a big deal. We make almost no deal about the joy boxes, unless you do that. But we thank you for your faithful giving, too, that has made all of this happen. And God has been good. But we're not finished. We're ready to keep following God's lead. Amen? Yeah, how many of you are ready for the ride as it takes us on from here? And I believe God is ready to move us again in new ways. So how many of you have moved around a lot? Let me see the hands of those of you who have moved a lot in your life. And I just want to tell you, I have lived in my 72 years, I'll be honest about my age. I still feel 27, but 72. I've lived in 33 houses in my lifetime. And in my 72 years of life. 16 of those by the time I was 20 years old and married my bride. And then Joy and I got married 52 years, 2 months, and 14 days ago. And so far, where is she? Oh, hi. Why don't you just take a moment and tell everybody how wonderful I am. She's amazing. She has been so incredible. Last service didn't get to hear this, but she's been so amazing in so many ways, And she has loved me no different when I walk with a rain cloud over my head than when I'm dancing and singing for joy, But now you distracted me, my beloved, but Joy and I got married, you know, in 1973. And so far we have lived in those 52 years, we've lived in 17 houses. You do this math with me. True, this would be interesting. We lived in one house in Desert Hot Springs for 10 years, and then 13 years in the house in Fountain Valley when we moved out here. 10 had been the longest I'd ever lived anywhere. And then when we moved into the Fountain Valley house, 13 years, and that felt like forever. And then we moved here into Huntington Beach, and now we've been 15 years in our home there, you know, just a couple of miles from here. So if you do the math, the other 14 homes we lived in averaged about one move a year for a lot of our marriage. Then notice, guys, it was the women who said, wow, that's a lot of moving. But so you were always welcome to come to our house for dinner if you could find us, because we're just bouncing around. But we as a family have called this spot home now, us as a church family, for 20 years. And by the way, how many of you attended Calvary of Huntington Beach when it was in this building? Anybody remember that? Yeah. It is now another church, Shore Life Church, but I think the church might have been there, you guys would remember, maybe 8 years or 9 years before we came, and then the amount of time that we were there. It was over there on McFadden, and some of you remember when we changed our name. In the fall of 2004, I told the church, and exactly like this, I said, if you consider Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach your home church on this one Sunday morning, I said, you need to be here next Wednesday night. And I can't tell you anything more about that. And I've pulled that on you guys, too, just about a year and about 4 months ago. And I said, if Refuge is your home, you need to be here next Sunday, and that's when we did the transition with Jeff. But I said, if it's your home, you need to be here on that Wednesday night. And some people thought we were leaving, and I don't blame them. We've been there for 8 years, which was the longest I'd ever pastored in one church in all my life. We had moved around in ministry as well. But that night, I told you that we're here, or there at that moment, that we're changing our name to Refuge. And I was kind of blunt about it at that point. We're changing our name to Refuge. And the great majority were very excited and supportive about it. And I'll tell you why in just a second. But there was one guy who came to me after the service and he said, if you do this, if you change our name, I'm leaving the church and I'm going to go tell Pastor Chuck that you changed the name. And I said, well, Alan, I've already told him that. No, it wasn't Alan. It wasn't Alan, and it wasn't Joy either. It was just a man who said, I'm going to go tell Chuck. And I don't think eventually he left, but I told him, well, we've already told Chuck, and Chuck said, oh, I think it sounds like a good idea and all. But I had been teaching a three-part series that I entitled Refuge. And the first message in the series was refuge is a person, God. God is a refuge. Scripture's full of that truth. Second message was refuge is a person. It needs to go. Refuge is a people. That's God's people. That's you. That's me. We're meant to be a refuge in this world. And the third message was refuge is a place, and that's any place that God's people do God's business. And so it can be an old Burlington coat factory warehouse. It can be, you know, whatever it have, can be the park, which you'll see in a minute. It was for a little while. But it was not just about taking on a cool new name. It was a call from God to become a people of refuge, to change our mentality of not being an audience, but being a family of people who scatter from this building to do the work that's more important than even what we do in here. What we do in here is important, but it's meant to equip us and prepare us to scatter in what? Well, there's close to 650 seats in here. So I would say to scatter in close to 575 different directions to touch people for Jesus Christ, where our ministry happens out there. So it wasn't just about the cool name, but here's how it happened. And I want to just give you this quick overview of how we landed with the name Refuge. It was a Wednesday afternoon, I think in late 2004, and I was preparing to lead worship. It might have been even a little bit earlier than that, but I was leading worship that night because Danny Lehman, who some of you remember from YWAM in Honolulu, was coming through to teach. And he's always been, you know, one of my favorite teachers, stirring up the church for missions and evangelism. So I'm waiting for him to get here, and I was multitasking. And how many of you multitask well? I do not multitask. I don't even solo task very well. But so I was putting together a worship set with that guitar right there. And I decided to watch this DVD that Tom Lane, how many of you remember Tom Lane? He was our worship leader, the last worship leader we had over in the other building. He'd come from Tennessee to be with us for 1 year. And he'd given me this DVD that was from another church here in Huntington Beach, but in Orange County, called New Song. It was primarily a church full of young Korean believers. And I think it's over in Orange now. The pastor was Dave Gibbons. And he said, somebody had asked him, well, what is New Song all about? He said, I can tell you in one word. He said, New Song is about restoration. He said, we want to be a place for misfits. People that don't fit in life and don't fit in this world, and watch God restore them and make them what He wants them to be. And as I heard Dave share that on that video, I stopped in my task of putting together the worship, and I just prayed briefly, God, what do you want Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach to be known for? What have you called us to do? What do you want us to be known for? And then I began to rehearse the next song that I'd chosen for that night. And it was a song that I'd written, I think, back in 1994 when we lived in Australia. And I want you to sing it with me. We've sung it here before. It's been a long time, I think, since we sang it. But I want you to sing it with me. And I'll put the lyrics up here on the screen for you. It's called Refuge. Here's how it goes.
You are a refuge, the mighty Redeemer, abounding in mercy. Our wounded healer, you are deserving. Far and above, you are the one we love. We were broken and hiding, when your Spirit found us. Now your loving kindness it always surrounds us. And the price of this hostage, we were purchased with blood. And you are the one we love.
I just sing this. You are the one we love.
And you are the one, you are the one we love. Oh, you are the one, you are the one we love.
And as I sang that song, I didn't get that far into it before I knew that our name was about to change. What do you want us to be known for, Father? I had said. And that word refuge just grabbed me as I sang that song. And it became so clear to me that God was calling us to become a people of refuge. Whether or not that was our name. I mean, New Song was the name of the church. Restoration wasn't their name. But it was so clear that God was calling us and giving us a refuge vision. So I got so excited. And I stepped into the staff meeting that we had scheduled, and I came in there rushing in with this refuge vision. And I said, hey guys, what do you think about us changing our name from Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach to Refuge? And a bunch of the guys got excited. Tom Lane, who gave me the DVD, said, you know, when I came here about 7-8 months ago, he said, I wondered if you guys were open to a name change that might mean something to just people driving by. What does the name Calvary Chapel mean to anybody who's not a Calvary Chapel person? And we weren't trying to reach other Calvary Chapel people, trying to reach lost people. And so he said that, and a bunch of guys got excited. And Pastor Allen said, I'm not sure that people would get that, you know, just up on the building. I'm not sure that they would understand all that you're suggesting there. And I'm so thankful Allen said that. I'm glad that he challenged it that day, not in a heavy way, but I'm so thankful that he did. And ultimately, there's no one who supported the name change more than Alan, and no one that epitomized what it means to be a person of refuge more than Alan and Billy Lloyd, and so many of you as well. But I said to the guys, I said, you know what? That's a valid concern. I'm going to road test the word. And so everywhere I went, not announcing myself as a Christian or a pastor or anything spiritual, I'd go up to the counter at a coffee shop and say, hey, let me ask you a question. What do you think of when you hear the word refuge? And some people will say, well, why? I said, well, I'm just wondering, what do you think of when you hear the word refuge? And people would say things like, well, I think of shelter, or I think of safety, or I think of peace. And unless they thought I said refuse. And it was a really different answer. I said, oh, no, you thought I said, and so I told him it was refuge. But there were two teenage girls up in Arrowhead they were working behind the counter at a Starbucks up there. And so when I came up, I made my order, and I said, hey, girls, what do you think of when you hear the word refuge? And they both, almost in unison, said, we think of Jesus. Jesus Christ. He's our refuge. Ooh, I was ready. I was ready at that point. But then there was another one. And and by the way, I didn't throw this in the last service. That same day when I was getting this idea about refuge, what do you want us to be known for? And then the refuge came up, and Alan said that. And at one point, I'm sitting there at my desk trying to finish up, you know, getting ready for worship, and a voice comes from the door of my office, and it's Danny Lehman saying, hey, there you are. And I looked over, and Danny's standing there wearing a T-shirt that said, El Refugio, which is the refuge in Spanish. And I said, where did you get that shirt? He said, it's just a T-shirt, Bill. I can get you one. But it's more than a T-shirt right now. But the end of that survey, and I still do that from time to time, but the end of the survey was when I was in Kalispell, Montana, getting ready to do a men's retreat. And we drove through this drive-through caffeine store up there, and the girl behind, that was at the window, her name tag said Amber. And I said, hey, Amber, I want to ask you a question before we order coffee. Well, what do you think of when you hear the word refuge? And she looked at me like, who are you? And And she said, oh, I don't know. And I said, well, just what's your first impression? She said, oh, maybe a tent. And I would say what I would say to everybody. That's a great answer. But she didn't ask me why. So I didn't push it. The next day, we came through the same drive-through coffee shop, but we had a big trailer on, so we couldn't pull through the drive-through. So we walked up to the side window, and there was Amber again. And I said, hey, you're the girl that I asked about refuge yesterday. And she looked at me, irritated, and she said, yes. I was up all night long thinking about that. She said, I want to change my answer. I said, you can do that. And she said, when I think of refuge, I think about my twin sister who died this last summer. She was my refuge. She said, why did you ask me that? And there was strong irritation in her mind because it had brought up obviously painful memories. And I told her, Amber, I know what you're walking through. I walked through that when I was 16, when my brother passed. And yesterday was his birthday, by the way. Would have been his 74th birthday. But I said, I've walked through that, and I really believe, and I know how hard it is, and you're going to make it through this. But I believe God brought me to Kalispell, Montana, to let you know that Jesus wants to be your refuge. He'll help you with that. He'll carry that with you. She looked back at me and said, thank you. Thank you so much. That makes so much sense. And I knew at that point, I don't care what Alan thinks. I didn't. By that time, Alan was ready as well. I said, that is our name. I knew at that point that that was not just our name, but it was our mission to become a people of refuge. And we began to plan for the name change. You know, you got to get new stationery, new signs, website, business cards, bank accounts, and eventually the all-important T-shirts. They had to arrive at some point. But we began to embrace a new focused vision, a vision to become people of refuge in a place called refuge, preaching a gospel about a God who wants to be our refuge and suffered to make that happen. And then we moved, but we didn't move into here. We didn't move into 7800 Edinger Avenue right away. We moved to 18381 Golden West Boulevard. Anybody know where that is? Anybody remember where that is? It was right here. It was Huntington Central Park. That's not where the main congregation met, but we had an early 8 a.m. service for the people that worked with the kids, and any early birds that wanted to come, they could come there too. But other people that were involved in different things, could have been the sound or whatever. So we met in that old amphitheater, and there was one guy I'll never forget. I've forgotten his name, but I'll never forget this guy. He sat up on the top bench of that little amphitheater, probably in his 80s, I'd say. And he would sit there, and one day he came up and he said, Pastor Bill, I want you to know, you guys came to this park for me. I hadn't been walking with the Lord for a long time, but being here among your congregation, it's basically, he was saying, it reawakened my faith, and thank you for coming to the park. But that's also where our children's workers were, and you know, the kids team and all the early birds. That was our sanctuary. And I got to be honest with you, I would love to move back to that sanctuary on Sunday mornings if the city would let us. But so we gathered, we sprawled out on the lawn there. There's a lake right behind, you know, that area in Huntington Central Park. And then there were enough people, they started spreading up the hill there, and we set up, you know, all kinds of stuff to serve the people. It was awesome. But then the kids, they had their children's ministry out in this big meadowy sort of place, just around the corner from where we were meeting. And since we were teaching through the book of Joshua, we called it the crossing, because we were crossing over, quite literally, by the way, at this point, we were crossing over a body of water. I did not part the waters as we went across. We drove around it, but it was that lake. And we had themes that came from the book of Joshua. They did the same thing. And so you know what that whole meadow became? It was like the camps of Israel in their different camps, the kid groups. And they were learning it all in a very, very tactile way. And it was a beautiful time. But thank God we were not in the wilderness there for 40 years. It was just 3.5 months, May through August. And I don't remember if it's actually this Sunday or the last Sunday of the month, which was our first Sunday in here. Maybe it was August 21, if it was that the third Sunday. But we moved into this unfinished building. And there was a, I don't know if any of you remember this, but it was right over, I think, in this area. If we cleared all the chairs away, you'd see these markings on the floor here somewhere where we had to build a wall right down through here, 6 feet high, because we didn't have enough parking to fill this room with the number of people that it could hold. So in the city, instead of just letting us put up, you know, rolling dividers, they said, no, you got to build a big wall. And so that big wall had struts coming out the back of it that made it look from the backside like a line of about 12 confessionals. So I thought, well, we've got a bunch of former Catholics here, and if they want us to hear their confession, we could do that. But that lasted about 2 weeks, and we got the permit from the bank next door to use the... how many of you are thankful for that bank parking lot? That is amazing. So, and then... So we were able to take that thing away, but we were called Refuge, Huntington Beach. And now at least three churches that we're connected with relationally have changed their names to Refuge. There's Refuge St. Cloud, Minnesota. There's a Refuge up in Belgrade, Montana, and Refuge in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and that kind of adopt the same sort of vision for their church. We're not over them in any way, but the only thing really is we talk about here where we are and so thankful that God put us where he did. There's no question. Joy just said the other day, it just was a miracle. It was God. It was no one but God that did this. And he really did. And to me, I remember when we did the dedication, and I was walking through the building with Pastor Chuck, and we had a good handful of Calvary Chapels, the Calvary Chapel pastors who pastor kind of the big mega church Calvaries that were here, each one of them speaking a little bit. But I was showing Chuck and Kay through the building, and I'd keep opening doors, and he'd say, oh, my, oh, my. Then we go through another door, oh, my, oh, my. And he was just so pleased to see, you know, what God was doing here. And so it's been amazing. And I think the only thing, and I told Chuck this, I think the only thing more beautiful than a new building is a well-used building. It shows the signs of life, you know. And I just did a Storm Brothers retreat up in, Colorado. And we had some stuff in the pantry. And I walked into the pantry, and right alongside, you open up the pantry door, and there's all these little hash marks and heights and names. And a sign that says, if you're not a part of our family, don't put your height on this wall. But you know, a well-lived in and well-used facility like this, and it shows the signs of life, and I'm so grateful for what God has done. Here's a really short list of some of our guests that have come in and guest ministries that have been with us. YWAM, remember when YWAM came in for about a week and a half and just worked the beaches and worked our cities? Chuck Smith has preached here, and Joel Rosenberg several times. Philip Yancey was here when he had one of his new books that was coming out, and that was such an honor. Raul Reese, Peter Warren from YWAM. Gail Irwin, love Gail. Gail's preached here a couple times. Now he's in heaven. Randy Stonehill, the band Love Song. They sang here when they did their reunion tour. They used our facility for their practice studio. And then the Resonance Concerts, Dance for Joy uses our building. The block party we do every year, also known as Pastor Jeff's birthday party. And... Water the Seeds missions in Africa, food distribution two times a week, lunch and a prayer, Refuge Radio, and on and on and on and on. So, and one woman that spoke here on a Sunday morning, and people get uneasy when you say in a Calvary Chapel, a woman spoke here on a Sunday morning. Her name was Aileen Coleman, and I would never turn her down. She didn't ask to come. I asked her to come and talk to us about what she was doing in Jordan. The way she'd laid down her life there to build this magnificent hospital for people, an Aussie woman. I could go on and on. But that's a lot of refuge going on in this place called Refuge, of people who live under the promises of God. We got this picture back in, was it the spring or early summer? And I had to rush over to the church because I thought, oh, there's got to be a rainbow over the church. It has to be there. And it just, it speaks to me about the promise of God that we live under. And as we work in submission to him, we're going to find his promise and his power. Amen? And I just tell you, we are not done. There's more that God has for us to do. So that's a lot of refuge that's been going on right here. So let's enjoy this brief moment that we have today. The burgers are going to be waiting for you in just a few minutes out there. But let's enjoy this, but then let's get back to the unfinished work of our business. The unfinished business of our work, I should say. But before refuge was a big deal to us, and this is what I really need to land on today. Before it was a big deal to us, before the name and the word refuge was a big deal, it was already a very, very big deal to God. Shows up in the Bible 61 times if you've got a New King James Bible. I think New Living Translation, 70 plus times in there. 11 times in the book of Numbers where God instructs them to identify six cities that were already in existence, three on the east, three on the west side of the Jordan River. And he told them to build something in relation to those cities, build roads to get to the cities of refuge. Why? Why? So that the person who has been charged with or accused of a capital crime can run for his life and get inside the walls of a city of refuge, and you're safe until your case has been heard. He said, build roads for them to get there. There's only one other building project God gave his people, and that was the building of the tabernacle, which was not a place to cram all the people of Israel into. They would gather around it and camp around it, and it was a testimony of God. But it shows up in the cities of refuge there in Numbers. Now I'm going to zoom through this. One time in the book of Ruth, where it says, may the Lord, the God of Israel, and I love this, may the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. That was a massive refuge there, a blessing that's coming. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, David, first one on record that says, God is my shield, my stronghold, and my refuge. And then 24 times in the book of Psalms, over and over and over, God is my refuge. I want you to see this one with me and read it with me if you would. Psalm 46. You ready to read? Okay, here we go. Say, ready to read. Okay, God, just letting you loosen up the vocal cords there. Here we go. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its rivers roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, think about it, pause. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Doesn't that sound like today? The kingdoms shaking, the nations raging, the kingdoms being moved. Uttered his voice. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two, and he burns a chariot of fire. One pause right there. All of us are concerned about the wars that are raging and the unrest all around the world and in our own cities, the anti-Semitism, the anti-Palestinianism, and all of that. And you need to know this. Do all that you can, even if it, and especially when it comes down to entering a voting booth. Do anything that you can that you believe is going to move this world and this culture back towards common sense, at least, and maybe even righteousness. Do all that you can, but know this, it's God who makes the wars to cease. It's God who takes charge of the rebel or the rebel nation, and he will deal with them as we pray. Amen? And then read on with me. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Think about that. Dwell upon that. And read with me from Hebrews chapter 16. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. And I could give you another 57 passages we don't have time for. So God is our refuge. And what does refuge mean? Well, it means shelter. And it means safety. And it means rest. And it means protection. It means you get to keep living. It means survival. And you and I are in need of refuge, aren't we? A refuge from what? I mean, primarily, what do we need refuge from? Can I shock you? We need refuge from God. We need refuge from God's wrath, because God is a holy God. God is a perfect God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God, but he's a righteous God. And unrighteousness does not go unpunished. And all unrighteousness was punished in the Savior, Jesus Christ. He took it all. He absorbed it all. The whole shot, the whole explosion of that bomb of God's wrath was absorbed by Jesus so that we could be recipients of his mercy if we will believe, if we will run to Jesus Christ for refuge. Jesus didn't come into the world with a just do better message, just try harder message. He came with a message of faith, to believe in him and to trust in him. Refuge means protection and shelter and survival, because we all have found ourselves deserving of the judgment of God and the justice of God. The God who created is the same God who will judge the world in absolute fairness. Yes, God is love, and yet he's merciful, and he's gracious, and he's righteous, and he's just. And I want to ask you, as we wrap up this morning, this afternoon, I want to ask you, have you run to Jesus yet? Have you run to him with your sin and asked him to forgive you? And if you refuse to do that, I'm not saying come and join our club. I'm saying come to your Savior. And if you refuse to do that, then you carry the weight of that sin into eternity before the holy God. And you'll be judged if you decide to hold on to it. Have you run to Jesus yet for refuge? Isaiah had a very strong word for the nation of Israel that God loved and honored. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 59. He said, "It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore." And what was true for Israel at that time is true for all mankind. We all need a refuge. We all need the refuge of Jesus. We all need him. Our mission from Jesus is to tell that to everyone we can, sharing that message. Most of our pastors, we think we become real churches when we get our own building. Let me tell you, if you're not a real church before you get a building, you're not a real church. And the real church of Jesus Christ has one primary mission: go into all the world and share the gospel with every creature. And that's not talking about dogs and lambs and bulls, but people who act like that sometimes. But share the gospel with everyone, the real church, when we're engaged in the same work that Jesus was engaged in 1,992 years ago before he left and said, "Now you take my message into the world and let guilty people know. Go everywhere and tell everyone and let guilty people know that their sins can be forgiven." And then what did he say to do with those who get saved? He said, "Make disciples out of them." How do you do that? By teaching them the word of God and walking with them, discipling them, mentoring them, showing them how to pray, helping people get up on their feet. It's a wonderful thing to do, to just devote the rest of your life as a person of refuge to bring hope to people and instruction to people. So let's recommit ourselves to the mission of Jesus in these days. Amen? Let's go everywhere and tell everyone. Let's make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. You know, we have right now, on the 17th, we have one less week to get the work done than we had last Sunday. That week is gone. You know what's happened in those 7 days? Two of our brothers from Refuge had gone to be with Jesus. Joe Colaccio went home to be with Jesus. I think it was a week ago. So Joe's home. And I saw him at his worst, you know, struggling with the cancer and all that. And Thon Nguyen went home to be with Jesus too. I was by his bedside with my guitar, just singing some worship. And he was too weak to sing, but I could tell he was loving it too. And all just to realize he's out of that broken body and he's home. You and I have one less week to reach people than we had last week. So let's make the week that's in front of us really, really count. Let's recommit to this mission. Let's get more serious than ever about being a people of refuge, about sending out missionaries. Oh, we have to go much further than we've gone. I'm thankful. You know, the mission wall out there. Oh, grab one of all of those cards and take them home. Put them on your dinner table and pray for those people one at a time. But we have to go further into the world because there's so many more Ambers out there that are waiting to know that there's a God that will carry that burden with them. There's more addicts that are broken beyond description that need to know that there is hope. It's way too soon to quit. So we've got to keep spreading the good news about Jesus everywhere we can because the gospel is the only hope. There is no other highway to heaven but Jesus, and that's a one-lane highway, one way into the kingdom of the Father. So let's be consistent and deliberate, and can I say it? Let's be aggressive too. Let's not back down. And let's be others-focused like Jesus always was. A refuge doesn't exist for itself. It's for those who need hope and healing and restoration. Refuge is one place where we do God's business. This is just one place where we do some of God's business. But the rest of it is out there where you live and where I live. We're all called to be a people of refuge, pointing people to the ultimate refuge, the safe refuge of Jesus. Somebody today needs Jesus, and maybe somebody right here needs Jesus. In Romans chapter 3, you know this. Some of you have walked the Romans road before. The Bible says, you know, if Paul didn't write this, it would still be true. But he wrote down, we've all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. Would you please raise your hand if you know a sinner? Would you point down at them from where you're sitting to? We've all sinned and we fall short of God's perfect standard. And then Paul goes on in chapter 6 of Romans, and he says, well, the penalty or the wages, in other words, what you earn by sinning is you earn death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's bad news, good news in one sentence. That's one breath that tells the whole story. Yeah, we've all sinned. Wages of our sin is death. But look, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we don't have to suffer for all of eternity under what we earned. So here, and here's, I love this part on the Romans road. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul just reminds us that God demonstrated his love to us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, for us. While we were still sinners, he wasn't waiting for you to shape up and become as nice and wonderful as you are today. Now, okay, and I can save someone like that. No, he sees the most wretched among us, like I was. And he says, I love him. I didn't give him any reason to love me, but he loved me and he saved me. Did you know that? Did you know that God loved you that much? He wasn't waiting for you to get perfect. He loves you exactly where you are right now if you haven't come to him. And even if you're in the middle of living a dark life of addiction and hatred and adultery and thievery and dishonesty, and that's just the profile of my life before I came to Jesus. He's ready to save you if you'll surrender to him. Jesus is your only refuge, but you have to come to him. You have to acknowledge him. You have to put your faith in Jesus alone. You have to call upon him, and then he responds. All who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Not might be saved, but shall be saved. So I ask you today as we close, are you ready to come home? Are you ready to receive the gift of eternal life? Are you ready to exchange a broken life for a new life? Are you ready to admit that you're a sinner who needs a Savior? This is not a self-improvement course. This is an ER room right now. where you come in the mess that you're in, if you're in a mess, or maybe you're just misguided and you've never even considered this before, and you're ready to say, Jesus, I want to live with you forever in heaven, because you're going to die one day. We're all going one way or the other when we die, either into the fullness of God's kingdom or away from him forever, with no appeal on the other side if we refuse to say yes to Jesus. Oh, you're trying to scare me. Well, I hope it does. If you need to be scared, I hope it scares you, because it's real. It's a real future that way too many people are going to experience because they said no to the Savior. Tossed out the life ring to them, and they said, nah, I can do this. No, you can't. I'll ask you to pray with me if you would. I'll give you a chance this afternoon, to say yes to Jesus and to settle that eternal account and begin to live a life the way he wants you to, the way he created you. So, Father in heaven, thank you for the truth of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our refuge. You're our present help in trouble. You call us to come to you. You didn't call us to come to your organization. You didn't even call us to come to your church. You said, come to me, and you give life. Lord, I just pray for those men and women and young people in here who maybe haven't said yes to Jesus, that this would be the day that they find refuge. Lord, we're going to continue to walk through a difficult world, but we need your refuge to do that in your presence. So God, I just pray for hearts to soften before you, hearts to be surrendered to you even at this moment. In Jesus' name. Let me ask you to keep your eyes closed for just a moment. I'm going to just ask if there's anybody here that would say, hey, Bill, I'm one of those people. I'm ready. I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. I want his forgiveness. I want eternal life. I want the hope that he gives. And if that's you and you're ready to come to him and ask him to forgive your sins, if you could hear it, there'd be a loud, a thunderous yes from him. If there's anybody that's ready to say yes, I want to ask you just to lift your hand right now. Say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Anybody? Yeah, right over here to my right. God bless you, man. There's two hands up over there. Anybody else that would say, yeah, this is the day I'm going to be right with God? I see a couple of hands back and off to the right. Yeah, God bless you, brother, right here in the center. Yeah. Anybody else would say, yeah, that's me today. Today's the day. I want to be saved. I want to be right with God. I want him as my refuge. Anybody else? Way back there. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands to pray with me out loud. It doesn't need to be any louder than a whisper. Scripture says, call upon him and you'll be saved. So just say this prayer after me. And I'm going to invite the whole congregation to pray with you, to sort of support you in this moment and accompany you. But let's pray like this and say, Father in heaven, I thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who died for my sins on that cross and demonstrated your love a sinner like me. I have sinned. I ask your forgiveness, and I pray that you come and live in me, take over my life, and help me to live the life you want me to live. The rest of my life is yours. Thank you for being my refuge. In Jesus' strong name, amen. 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 Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask you to agree with me? You who just prayed to start a new life with Jesus, do one thing before you leave. Tell somebody around you, I just gave my life to Jesus. I just seriously surrendered my life to Jesus. And they might even say, well, I'll help you. Let me help you walk this out. Would love to meet you as well. I'm going to go and hang out in the back of the sanctuary here, but would love to meet you on your way out. And the prayer team is going to be down here as well. Communion is going to be served over in the prayer room if you'd like that. And then you can go out to the party, to the get your burger before you leave. But we just rejoice with you, rejoice over this new life. I want to ask those of you who are ready to surrender to the life of being a person of refuge, I want to ask you to raise your hands. If you're one of those people that would say, I'm surrendering to that, but don't just raise one hand. You know, when the policeman told me, hands up, It wasn't hand in one pocket and one hand up, you know. It was both hands up. Put both your hands up and stand up with me and let me pray for you. We'll sing one last song and we'll be out of here. Sorry I've kept you so long this morning. Father, we surrender to you because we want to be not just Christians who meet in a building labeled refuge. We want to be people of refuge in a broken world. So Lord, fill us with your spirit now and take us our, I don't know, 500 different directions this afternoon to touch somebody in your name or to at least, Lord, to exhibit the culture of your kingdom, your kindness and goodness and love. Father, we'll trust you for those steps and the power to be a representative of the kingdom. In Jesus' strong name, and everybody said, amen. 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 Let's sing and then we'll go.